Would you please take your Bibles with me tonight? 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. I'm just excited to see what God is doing through His Word to speak to His people. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity that I get to have to preach tonight. It definitely is an opportunity. If you didn't know, Pastor is with us again, and as we would say, via internet, and God has given to us electronics, so I guess we should use it the best that we know how. 1 Samuel chapter 16. There's something interesting that the Lord teaches us here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Something that most of us would probably struggle with. In fact, we see a man in the Scriptures struggling with the same thing that you and I struggle with today. There's many struggles. There's many of problems going on in this world. But I think one thing here from the Scripture, God teaches us a simple truth that we don't see things as He sees things. His view and His perspective in this world is different than our view, as we would say in human nature, our view and our perspective in this world. Have you ever thought, Lord, I didn't think You were going to work that way? Because we didn't see God at work through it. It's the same thing that Samuel struggled with in this passage of Scripture. Samuel is now well in age. He's not a young man anymore. In fact, there's only one more time after 1 Samuel chapter 16 that Samuel comes back on the scene. He basically goes into retirement. He goes and teaches at a prophet school. He basically goes off the scene because now God found His man for His people. We understand the struggles that Samuel was going through. Because at first in this passage of Scripture, we see the Israelites have sinned against God. Because they wanted somebody else to rule and to reign over them. God gave them that in the person of Saul. But Saul did something after God had ordained him to be the king of Israel, and that was disobedience. God had commanded him two times in chapter 13 and chapter 15 to do something specifically, almost like his first set of orders, and his second set of orders he failed at. Let's read this portion of Scripture, and then I'll give you my title, and then we'll get into it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass as they were come that he looked to Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, this is my topic for tonight. For the Lord seeth, not as man seeth. There's two different perspectives here. There's God's perspective, and there's man's perspective. Let's pray and we'll get in this. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that you'll work through this passage of Scripture, Father, and teach us what you would have to teach us about us not seeing the same way that you see man. And God, I pray through this passage of Scripture, Lord, that you'll help us. God, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, that you will be glorified tonight. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We come to this passage of Scripture and we find something interesting. Here's a man that was now commissioned to do something else for God. Samuel was a prophet. Samuel was a prophet of old. Samuel, even from the very birth, even before that he was born, he was ordained to be a prophet in the nation of Israel. Hannah, his mother, was barren, and she was praying and asking God time and time again when they went to the temple to do their sacrifice, the yearly sacrifice, that she asked God for a man child. But there was something that she added to that, that she promised if God gave her a man child, that he would give her back, or she would give the child back to God. And when Samuel was at the age after he was weaned, he went to the temple and he learned underneath Eliah the prophet. And he learned everything that Eliah was going to teach him to be a prophet in Israel. So even from his birth to now being well up in age, he was serving God in one of the most fullest capacities that a man in the Old Testament could serve God with. He's not young. He is old in this passage of Scripture. And yet the Lord said to a man that has been serving him for years, "You don't see how I see." There was a different perspective that Samuel had than what God had. Samuel looked on the outward appearance. Remember, that was a problem from the beginning. Saul was a man of well stature. He stood high atall, the Bible says, above all men. He was a soldier. But Saul was a rejected foe from God. He wasn't given the ability to have his lineage come or have Christ come through his lineage. He had another man. Samuel mourned over that. He had now just given his life over to a man that was rejected by God. Samuel was supposed to go off the scene when the king came. But because the king was rejected, Samuel had to come back on the scene. And he did in 1 Samuel chapter 16. God had commissioned him to go anoint a man, the Bible says, after my own heart. And God sent him to commission to do this, and he did what God commanded him to do. But here's an interesting thing. The only thing he saw was the stumbling block in front of him. Here's my first point. God sees from the beginning to the end. God is outside of the realm of time. Look what it says here in this passage of Scripture. He said in verse 1, look at this perfect present tense. I have provided me. It was already settled that there was going to be another king in Israel. God said he already provided him a man after his own heart. God knows from the beginning to the end. God is not in the realm of our thinking. God is outside the realm of time period. He's the one that created time. He was the creator of this world. He created time, and some people believe that he created a clock and he started time and he let it go. But God didn't do that. God is still in the affairs of mankind as he was then and he is now. But what he did was he told Saul or Samuel that he already had provided. God already knew. Paul called this predestination in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Why did God predestine us to get saved? Why was predestined ever mentioned, which is mentioned for the first time in Romans chapter 8, verse 29? The word predestination is mentioned there because of the foreknowledge of God. God already knows what's going to happen from the time it started to the time it's in. God is outside that he's created all this. He knew that man was going to fall. It was created from the foundations of this world that Christ would come and die on Calvary's cross. Why? Because God is not in this realm of time. He's outside of it. He is the creator of this world. He's the creator, one that has created this time period in which Samuel was going through. God is not in the realm of time. God is outside it. He works in ways that we don't understand. He works through people that we can't comprehend. He uses situations that we don't understand. He uses circumstances to bring people to Christ and also to draw his people closer to him. The problem was that Samuel didn't see how God saw it. Samuel only saw the outward. God saw the heart. A man of old, a man that of well prestige, a man that has known the law and has served God all his life, was halted in his tracks when God said, "Look not on his countenance." The Bible says that Eliab was rejected. He wasn't the man that God was wanting to take the position. That kind of scares me a little bit. Because I've only been serving the Lord 8 years. And this man's been serving the Lord all his life. Yet God still said that you don't see how I see. I think that's the problem a lot of us go through today. We don't see it how God sees it. God is doing a work behind the scenes that we don't even understand. God is not, as we would say, we like to bottle God up. We like to stick God in a bottle and say, "God, you only work this way." That is not true. God cannot leave the scriptures. He is bound by the scriptures, but he's not bound by our four walls. God works in ways that we may not fully comprehend, but God knows better than we know. I didn't ask to go through certain things when I became a Christian, but God knew it better than I knew it. I didn't ask to get sick, but God knew that I needed to get sick. I didn't ask not to live in a Christian home all my life or to be raised by ungodly people. I didn't ask for that. In fact, if I would ask for it, I would have found the perfect family and would have been tried to have been born in that for a perfect family. But God knows it better than I know it. Samuel didn't see it as God saw it, because God sees things from the beginning to the end. Number two, man only sees what was behind him and what is right in front of him. Look what Saul knew. He said, as Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, the Bible says he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee." In the Old Testament, before any anointing could ever happen, there had to be a sacrifice made. The sacrifice was a representation of what Christ was going to do in the New Testament when he comes on the scene. The sacrifice was not to forgive people of their sins. It was to cover their sins for a period of time. That sacrifice was a picture of what Christ has done on Calvary's cross for our sins in the New Testament. One person asked me, how can the Old Testament guys get saved if they didn't have Christ? They looked unto the Christ. We look back to the cross. They believed, or they got saved the same way you and I get saved. And that's looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved. Samuel did not see past what was in front of him. He only saw what the situation was. He knew God's commission. God had told him to go. God had told him where to go. And God had said, I have already provided me a person. But Samuel only saw what was in front of him. He knew from what God had commanded him to go, but he couldn't see past that next step. Many times I've been there in my life. God has commissioned me to go. God has told me where to go, and God has told me what to do. But I say, Lord, this is in front of me. You're going to have to deal with this. When I went off to Bible college, I had no money whatsoever. And my second semester, I wasn't going to go back to college because I had no money. No money at all. But God had told me to go to college, and God didn't tell me to stop going to college. And I said, God, if you have called me to go, which you have, and you have shown me the place to go, and I've already spent a semester there, you're going to have to deal with this situation right in front of me. I didn't see what God was doing because I can only see the situation that was in front of me. I knew from the past that God was faithful and just. I knew from the past that God had taken these obstacles and removed these obstacles. But it still didn't change the fact that there was an obstacle right in front of me. And that obstacle was money. And when I obeyed, God faithfully provided. Why? Because he called us to go, and we ought to do it. I remember when I was working in Aquachem back in Tennessee when I was going through college, and there was a policy there that you couldn't speak of anything spiritual while you're during work hours. And man, that was the hardest thing ever to do. I thought all the time I was going to get in trouble just for speaking the name of Christ and saying amen when I was listening to sermons working. I thought I was going to get into trouble. God had convicted my heart about talking to somebody, about witnessing to a man. His name was Mark Beebe. He was 49 years old. He had worked around me, and at that time we were working on a big project, so he was going to be around me for a while. And I had witnessed to him. He had came to church with us one time, and I knew that he was not saved. I knew because he was trusting in a baptism rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I was baptized when I was a child. I was baptized in a Methodist church, actually. And he was baptized as a child in a Methodist church. And he thought all his life for 49 years that he was saved because of that baptism. I was so afraid that I was going to get in trouble. I was so afraid. I said, God, you're going to have to open up this door. You're going to have to break through this. Because I could lose my job. If I lose my job, I won't pay for school. Narrow-minded, right? Thinking that this little bump God couldn't take care of. I only saw what was in front of me. I didn't see two nights later that he would confess his sins and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I didn't see that. I only saw the problem that was in front of me. But God knew. Because God knows all things. He knows from the beginning to the end because he's outside the realm of time. God already knew. You know, God's in the preparation business. Every step we take, if we're following God and we are living a spirit-filled Christian life, Christ has already taken that step. We're just following in his footsteps. God is always in the preparation business, preparing us for the next step, what he would have for us to do. I remember just recently, we went up to Indianapolis for my sister-in-law's wedding. Poor guy. But he got married, they got married, and it was a wonderful wedding. But I told my wife 2 weeks before we left, I said, your dad's going to ask me to preach. And she was like, how do you know that? There is no way you could know that. And I said, God's already given me the message to preach. And she was like, no, he would already asked you. Another week went by, and I said, I'm telling you, the Lord, he's going to ask me to preach. He's going to ask me to preach. She's like, there's no way. He would have already asked you. The night before I left to go up there, he called me and asked me to preach. You want to know why? Because God had already prepared me to preach. When Pastor called me yesterday and said, I'm not going to be able to do services tomorrow, do you know God already laid that message on my heart? Why? Because he's in the preparation business. He's preparing us for the next step that he wants us to take. Why? Because God is outside the realm of time. He's not in our narrow-minded thinking. God uses ways and means that are all possible to bring people to Christ. I absolutely despise contemporary music. But you know God saved me through contemporary music? I absolutely despise it. I know that it's not right before God. God's convicted me of that and showed me the Word of God, how it's not right. But you know, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior through a contemporary church. Because God wants to use all means possible that no man will perish, but that all men will come to know Him as our personal Savior. God is preparing us for a great work. God is moving. Can you not see that? God is moving among the lost. He is shaking up our nation. He's given to us a president. He may be saved, may not be saved, but he's got some kind of righteousness in him. And he is leading this nation, I believe, the way God will want it to be led. I may not know everything, but God is shaking it up. You want to know why? Because look at all the protest. Look at what the devil's trying to fight back. He's trying to gain back ground that he lost because of this election. God is always in the preparation business. He is always preparing us for the next work that he has for us. Why? Because God is not in the realm of our time. He knows from the beginning to the end. So we see that God sees from the beginning to the end. That's how he sees that we don't see. That's how his perspective is different. Man sees what's only is in the front of him and what was behind him. It's hard for man to see in the future. Thirdly, Samuel saw his countenance. Samuel saw his countenance. The Bible says, the Lord said unto Samuel, verse 7, look not on his countenance. Samuel only saw what was in front of him. He only saw what was the outward appearance. That's very deceiving. We can dress up and look nice, but inwardly be wicked. You know, the devil's very good at deceiving. The Bible says that he deceives, in the book of Revelation, even the very elect. There's even very elect that the devil is going to deceive. And that he is deceiving. And there's many that he's already deceived. But when we look at a person and we judge a person from the outward appearance, we think, oh, God's going to do something great because look how he looks. God can't use that. Look how he's looking. Look how he's looking. I don't know if that's proper English. She'll tell me afterwards. Just kidding. But we see only with what our eyes can see. The same way Samuel saw only the countenance of Eliab. Eliab was not God's man for the position. Eliab was not the man that God had to be the next king reign. Why? Because Samuel only saw the countenance. God is working on the heart. The countenance come. I remember when I first got saved, I was going to church, and you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it when I tell you this. I told the teens this. I used to go to a church in shorts and a tank top. But many of people would have condemned me for that. Do you know, the next week, the Lord worked on my heart. I went out and bought a shirt and tie. Nobody didn't have to tell me what I had to dress like. I read a story about D.L. Moody. He was preaching to a, he's been witnessing to a man that had a beard all the way down below his stomach. And for many and many weeks, he was witnessing to the man about being saved. Well, he was coming to the church services, and he sat near the front, right in the front. He noticed one day that the man shaved his beard. He was like, who told him that he had to shave his beard to be saved? Thinking that in his mind, you know, that somebody had told him. Who's legalistic to think that, to tell him that? So he went to the man. He said, who told you that you had to shave your beard? He said, sir, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. I looked at myself in the mirror this morning, and I said, a Christian ought not to look like this. God did that work. God did the work from the inside. You see, so many times we want to focus on somebody's outward appearance that it does absolutely no good, because eventually it's just going to cause disobedience and more rebellion, because the only thing that's in their heart is rebellion. We can't change somebody's outward appearance to appear to be a Christian when their heart is so far from God. We look at people today with big hoops in their ears and tattoos all over. God can't save that person because of the way he looks. I bet you they even said, and his disciples said, when Nicodemus probably came to Jesus by night, they probably were around or somewhere around because they had known the situation that was going on. And maybe they had actually even witnessed what Christ was doing. But they probably even said, I can't work in that person's heart. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. But God changed his life. We don't know that for sure, but he definitely heard the gospel that night. The Samaritan woman at the well, when his disciples came to him and said, why? Why are you speaking to this Gentile? This Samaritan woman, this wicked person. But God says, my meat is to do the Lord's will. He was about the heart. Fourthly, God saw the heart. The only person that knows their relationship with you and God is in between you and God. That's the only two people know if you're truly born again. You can dress up and look nice, but inwardly be so wicked. Again, D.L. Moody said this in one of his books. He said, I'm afraid to say that I still believe half my church has never truly been born again. Yet they dress up really nicely and look really well, but inwardly they're still wicked. We see people, we think that's a hard case, but that's who God wants to save. God is in the business of doing what we would think is impossible. Why? Because God does not see as we see. Our perspective, there's a right perspective here and a wrong perspective. The wrong perspective was looking on the countenance. The right perspective is looking on the heart. And only by the heart of, I can only see somebody, I look on their countenance. But do you know, after a while, you can tell their heart? Sometimes some people you can tell as soon as you meet them and you start talking to them, this person's not saved. And then you got those people that are very scary. The Bible says, and Paul even said it, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We don't see as God sees. Man sees outwardly, but God sees the heart. And God is the one that does the work in the heart. God doesn't want to change a person's outward appearance before he changes the heart. He'll eventually do that. It happened to me. I'm a byproduct of that. And I know many people, that man, Mark Beebe, I was telling you about, that came to know Christ as a personal Savior. God changed him. Those things that he was saying around work were not the same anymore. In fact, after he got saved, I didn't hear one foul word come out of his mouth or one wicked thing come out of his mouth. Why? Because the heart was changed. God has a different perspective than you and I, because we only see on the outward, but God sees the heart. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. God, I pray that you'll speak to hearts.